Hello, my lovelies. It's me, Jay. This is going to look like a very long video, and there is a reading in this, but let's talk first. There's a lot that's kind of gone on at my end, and I want to share some of that. And not even to kind of inform you, although that is part of my intention, it's to share with you my embodiment of the current energy to help you to see or be aware of how you are embodying this energy. It may not be in the same way as me, but you are embodying it in some way. And the only thing that I can really share, you know, lead by example, I've always believed that my example speaks more to the messages and to the energy than anything else would, any words that I could use, any cards that I could pull. Now, here's the first thing. I'm recording this. It's actually 14:14. It's 2:15 here in the afternoon on the 20th of April, and it's Taurus season. So welcome to Taurus season. There aren't any seasonals that have gone up, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think they're going to be any seasonals that go up for Taurus season. Doesn't mean I don't have a reading for you. It doesn't mean that I don't have a message for you. I started Taurus seasonals, and that's the reading that you're going to see at the end, towards the end of this. The majority of this video is, or podcast, wherever you're listening to this or watching this, is a reading. But things didn't go to plan, which is, you know, one of the great messages, I think, of this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. I had every intention of doing the Taurus seasonals in the same way that I had no intention of doing those personal readings that I did for 2 weeks in Aries season, in that eclipse window. It just is. It's, you know, that's part of listening to instincts, listening to my intuition. I've never been led astray by listening to my own guidance, and I'm doing that now. But I did start Taurus seasonals. So the reading that I did was for Taurus season, and I did just listen to it. I listened to it before I started recording this, and I haven't got any notes on this. Usually I make some notes about what I'm going to talk about. I just wanted to share where I am. First thing I want to say, and I recognize it may make some of you feel very uncomfortable to hear me say this, but it feels necessary for me to say this, and I'm choosing to say this, which is, I listened to the reading that I did for Taurus season. It was for Taurus, but you know, the sign for, the reading for the sign of the season is the reading for everyone. I was listening to it. I was listening to myself, and I just thought, you know, I became the reader that I never even thought I could be, that I never even dreamed I could be. And I mean that in the most wonderful way, in how proud of myself I am. And in that I am a great reader, you know, and that's the part that I think it might be uncomfortable for some of you to hear. I'm a great reader. I've put in years and years of effort. So if I'm having a Seven of Pentacles moment, which I am, I shared that on the Discord server today, which thank you to all the new people that have joined Discord. That feeling of, you know, Seven of Pentacles, if I look at my life's work in a way, I'm a great reader. And that may sound bizarre to some of you for me to say that, because a lot of you guys say it to me all the time, but I actually felt it in that moment. I was listening to myself and I thought, wow, you became the reader, Jay, that I never even dreamed that I could be. It was never a goal to become that, right? It was just years of playing with cards, right? And telling stories and doing this and sharing. And why I feel it's necessary to share that is I'm not sat here telling you that I'm done with readings, right? That's the most important part of this. And that is to convey this energy, that the energy that the way I'm picking it up at the moment, it isn't this kind of like, you know, screw this, fuck that, done with it, get lost. Like, you know, it's none of that. That's not how I feel. And there's plenty of people that I know that are not feeling that way. And yet in the reading that you will hear at the end of this video, I talk about a new favorite. And I think when I said it, I didn't realize the impact of that, which, think about what a new favorite is. We all have our favorites. We all have our preferences, but I want to use the word favorite, right? We all have the things that we like. We all have the things that we enjoy in life, and we might still enjoy them. But it doesn't mean that we're not more than that, or that there aren't other things that we could enjoy more. Again, I'm not saying at this point, because I know people start to freak out, I'm not saying that I'm not going to be doing readings, but I'm also not saying that I am going to be doing readings. That's the point. I don't know. And so I recorded that Taurus seasonal, And I thought, excellent, great. Tomorrow I'll start with Gemini. So I did it at the end of the day. I think, I don't remember what it was. It was maybe Tuesday of this past week, Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't remember. I did the Taurus cheat sheet, which I loved, put so much effort into it. Started the Taurus seasonals and then it was just stopped. I just stopped. And that's how I've perceived this. And I didn't even consider, like, this is how messages play out for me personally as well. Going beyond normal, that was the weekly, right, for the past week. And I'm also not doing a weekly, by the way. Take this as your weekly message. That I didn't think going beyond normal would be a full stop for me, or just a pause, or just to stop in my tracks, which is what I've done. The last 2 days, I've sat at my desk and I've had all these thoughts and all these feelings, and I've just sat with them, just allowed them to kind of wash through me. You know, water is the card that comes up in that reading, and just felt my way through it. And yes, you know, when I sit here and give these, you know, do these readings for you or give, pass these messages on, you know, I do it as a clear channel. What do I mean by that? Tabula rasa, right? Blank slate. I'm blanked out. I read the cards. I bring in these messages and I share them with you. But they do play out in my life as well. You know, I don't sit and consider them until afterwards. And this feels like part of that Taurus message that I share with you here. And it feels like the weekly. This is going beyond normal for me. Normal for me is to find a way, is to push through, is there's an obstacle, you know, I will go through it. I will go over it. I will go around it. I don't know if I've ever stopped and talked to my obstacles, or if I've ever made friends with them, or considered that it's an invitation for me to stop. And so just for the moment, just for right now, I'm stopped. I'm just stopped. And I say that with, there's at least two family members of mine that they're waiting on readings for me, because when they knew that I'd opened up, so quite a few people in my personal life wanted a reading as well. One of them is my mum. My mum never gets readings from me. And not because, you know, she doubts my ability as a reader. She doesn't need them. She's one of those people. And so it's a big deal when my mum asks me. And trust me, if I'm not even doing her reading, which would only take me like 15 minutes to do, I could just sit downstairs on the dining room table and pull her cards for her. It's just, I've just stopped. And that's what I've told everyone. That, you know, give me a minute. I'm just taking a beat, just taking a moment, and I just need to be at the moment. And here's another thing that I haven't really shared a lot of this the last 2 days. I'm sat here talking to you guys about it because I keep getting asked questions, and I love questions. I always encourage questions. But I have this massive theme of how we frame things. And so when someone's asking me, oh, are you just being, or does that mean you're never going to do readings again? Or is there something new that you're working on? It's like, I don't fucking know. Like, that's my actual answer. I kind of feel I could get lost in, all right, what am I going to do then? And so if I'm not going to do this work, then what? That's not the point of this. When you stop, you stop. That means stopping, for me personally, like stopping analyzing everything. It's the Four of Swords, man. You'll see it in the reading. And I didn't even realize it when I pulled the card or when I thought about it. But it doesn't need a label. It doesn't need to be defined. It needs to be felt. And yes, I guess you can call that being. Yes, you can call that, you know, just sitting with whatever is. What's my new favorite? Like, that's a question, I guess, in the background. But it doesn't mean I need to search for it. It doesn't mean I need to grasp for it. There's a feeling that I have, like I was talking to a friend this morning. I told her that, you know, it just kind of feels like there's something there, right? Something there. That's what I said, that it just feels like there's something there. But it's not something I need to search for or grasp for, or go looking for, right? It's something that is bursting forth out of me. Now, that is much more uncomfortable than it may sound to you. Why do I say that? It's because, as if I'm being ripped open, and I know some of you may feel like this, I'm being ripped open right now, and I'm holding still while it happens. Now, put another way, that might sound like childbirth to some people, right? Giving birth to something. And it may be that, but again, I don't want to analyze it because I think that is my normal. My normal is to analyze it. My normal is to break it down, to think it through, to channel messages around it, to pull cards about it, to understand it. and I don't need to understand it right now. I know who I am in terms of the Aries eclipse that happened. And I think a lot of us are going through that. But we know who we are from a very fiery, instinctual place. And that's based on what we do. And one of the statements that I made on the day of the Aries eclipse, it was before the eclipse happened, I made that statement loud and proud, which was, my race is run, guys. Like, you know, that's how I feel. Now, that doesn't mean that my life is over. Although, I'm not going to lie to you, I've felt that way. It's almost felt as if, am I about to die? That I felt that at some points. And that is something, again, you know, you want to intellectualize it. I can tell you, I know that's what having Pluto on your sun feels like. Feels like you're dying, or feels like, you know, you're about to die. And because it's your sun, it feels literal. And I'm not saying it is literal, you know, hope it isn't, but hey, that's how it feels. To be accepting, to be in the moment, to be mindful means it's okay to feel everything. And I'm okay with feeling all of this stuff. I'm not worried. I'm not stressed. I'm a lot of things, but I'm not those. I'm not kind of concerned about where this goes. Because there's no point. And that's almost the Nine of Swords, right? That there is no point trying to fucking, you know, square every circle or circle every square or, you know, whatever it is of trying to figure this out. This is where I am. And part of my race is run means that there is no one that I need to be and nothing that I need to do. That was part of my message. And that was a great amount of peace for 2 days. It was the strangest feeling. And it isn't even about that feeling. It's the fact of what I'm not anymore. That's what came up very clearly, is in feeling that feeling of my race is run and I don't have to, there's no one that I need to be and nothing that I need to do. It revealed to me how much of my life has been spent chasing like someone that I want to be, or something, that feeling of I need to do this. And so, since then, and that's almost 2 weeks ago now, I've had this, just the absence of that. Now, I shared this, I think it was one of the weeklies, that yes, that feeling may have happened, but then within a couple of days of that, it's like, well, okay, well, if you don't need to be anyone and there's nothing that you need to do, then who are you? Who are you, right? And I kind of feel like if Aries is the beginning of the zodiac, of the zodiacal year, then that feeling, which if you think about it, is a statement of, you know, is it a statement of liberation, of freedom, of peace? Yes, it's all of those things, but it's also of curiosity, of newness, of coming from a different place. It's all of this stuff of, you know, the whole board is clear now. I talk about myself being tabula rasa when I do a reading. My life has become tabula rasa. It's a blank canvas at the moment. And I just know if I pick up a brush at the moment and try to paint on that, I will just paint what I've always painted. And so it's about, for me at the moment, I've stopped to take in my surroundings, to take in who I am, to just breathe right now and to understand that something has massively shifted for me. How do I express that in the world? That is what I will see. I don't have an answer for that right now. And I don't feel like I need to have an answer for that right now. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I've got a feeling that full moon in Scorpio will be where this kind of stopped ends for me. I just have a feeling around that, just how I know. And I do trust, you know, I don't just sit here using my intuition to bring tarot messages. I use it in my own life all the time. I was the most ill that I've been for a long time in the last couple of months. Probably since I stopped, you know, my chronic illness and I got better, I got really ill. And it was weird because I had this inner message that came to me from my intuition. And it was my intuition. It was that high priestess energy, which said, this is the last time you will ever be ill. You will never be ill again. Now, that sounds illogical. You know, it's like, you're ill again, right? You know, how can you feel that way? And that's how I felt. I just knew it. At the same time, I had the fears that, oh God, I'm ill again. What does this mean? And all that. Now, that was a couple of months ago. Well, I don't even know. Was it a couple of months ago, a month ago? It was something. And I've made a lot of changes in my health, in my what I eat and how I've been applying myself. Really very ready for Taurus season, I guess, in some ways. And now I'm feeling the best that I've felt in a very long time. I feel very healthy. But here's the thing, right? And I realized this, that when you've just been focused on putting out one fire for a long time, and that's where everything was kind of stagnant for me. Like, you know, I was just maintaining my life. Why? Because I'm trying to sort my health out. That's the fire that I'm trying to put out. Now that that fire has been put out for all intents and purposes, and I feel great, like I truly feel great, I've kind of looked around and realized what has gone, not to shit, that's not the right way to put it, but just I have fresh eyes to look at everything in my life. And that's why I've stopped and I'm looking around. And I keep getting this vision of as if I've been walking through the forest. And, you know, the whole time I was trying to get to somewhere, I was like walking through the forest and I didn't look at where I was. I haven't looked at the forest. I haven't looked at how far I've come. So I've stopped, you know, I've pitched my little tent and I've just stopped where I am for a moment to take in the journey so far. And I don't know if that's what you're doing. You know, even me talking about a new favorite, it doesn't mean you have to have a new favorite in your life. But whatever your favorite thing is, like say for me, if my favorite thing is doing tarot readings, right? Then what role does that play in my life now? So because I speak to a lot of people, you know, some whose life is just crashed and burned and they're ready. They're more than ready to do something new, to become someone new, to create something new, new relationships, new jobs, new businesses, new whatever. Or they've come out of something and, you know, they're ready now. There are others who have never been at more peace in their life than they feel right now. Then the new favorite is about, you know, if you're at peace in your life and your life is just wonderful and amazing at the moment, you know, there are people that exist like that. Then it's framing that in a new way. Framing is a key thing. How we frame things, how we frame our questions. It's weird because it's not weird at all, but these messages have been coming through in such crazy ways. I am signed up to newsletters that I get from Substack, you know, different people. And there was one that came, I didn't read the whole thing, but it was just the first bit that I read. And I want to read it to you, actually. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, so it was an article that Adam Mastroianni, I've always said his name wrong, did. And his Substack is Experimental History, if anyone's interested. He's a pretty cool guy. But it caught my attention because check out what the title of the article is. It says 12 baseless opinions about having good conversations. And the subtitle is never talk about Jurassic Park, etc. So I won't go through the whole thing, but the first point that he makes is boring conversations are a choice. This is what he says. He says, a crazy thing I used to see teaching improv 101, although people could literally do anything in their scenes, go to the moon, be wizards, thwart a terrorist plot, they would instead sit down, pretend to type on a keyboard and go, I hate my job, give people unlimited freedom, and they will alarmingly often choose to have a bad time. So too in conversations, people will be like, how many cousins do you have? And then be like, wow, this conversation sucks so much. Talk about the stuff you want to talk about. Ask people the things you want to know. Do you think the other person wants to count their cousins? Go to the moon, damn it. And I love that. I love that because it's about the choices that we make. And this is a part of like coming from values. And I might think, well, how does that apply to what you're saying? It does apply to what we're saying, right? When we choose to look at our lives and we choose to look at what we value, when we choose to just stop and look around, what are we looking at? What are we looking for? How are we framing it? I keep thinking about the Seven of Pentacles, which is actually Saturn in Taurus as a card, but I think it applies to this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction of when you're looking at your life, how are you framing it? You know, the question is, what is worth your time and effort? If you're framing it from the point of view of to make money or whatever your goals are, right? Then that's a very different answer from I need to spend more time with my family, right? Then what is worth the time and effort from that place? How we frame things is totally changing. And that goes with even if everything is perfect in your life and it is wonderful and it's amazing, right? No one is immune from energies. We are here on the planet. We are, you know, Pluto is an Aquarius, guys. We're all feeling this. We're all encouraged to show up from a very individual place. We don't all go through the same things at the same time. We don't all go through them in the same way. No, I'm not saying that. But we do feel everything. And then how we frame things changes. And maybe it's just the awareness of how that's already changed and how that's already shifted. Are you able to speak from that place? You may not be able to just yet. But can you witness it? Can you feel that within yourself? So how we ask each other questions, how we answer our own questions, where our values lie, what our values actually are, in what context, in the time spans, in which people we include in that. Anyway, there will be a lot to say at a later time around all of this stuff, or maybe they won't be. I don't know, right? But I wanted to share with you guys where I am. I wanted to share that reading with you guys because it's an amazing reading. I think it speaks to a lot of the Taurus energy and where we are right now. You don't know, right? You know, I don't know. The Scorpio full moon might happen. It squares my Mercury, and kind of loosely squares my sun. And I might be like, wow, okay, cool. I get it. And I might be back with Taurus seasonals or May monthlies or who knows, right? I don't know what's going to happen or where we're going. That's kind of the point here. But if nothing else, right? And not that you need my permission, but take this as a permission to not know at the moment. You know, that emptiness. I have this whole theme. So I talked about framing as a word that's coming up for me a lot. New favorite is a word that's coming up for me a lot, but also contrived. What got me to stop? What got me to stop was this feeling of this feels so contrived. My sister got it. She said to me, does it feel like you're forcing it? Because I said, I'm not doing the family readings at the moment. And it looks like I'm not doing seasonals. And that's what she asked me. Think about how she framed it. She framed it as a yes, no as well, but she happened to be spot on. And she goes, does it feel like you're forcing it? And I said, yes, it does. But I wouldn't use the word force. I would use contrived. It feels contrived. I could show up. I could do the seasonals. I could just say, hey guys, it's business as usual, but it isn't fucking business as usual. I know that. I feel that. Do you feel that? What's going on with you? I hope you will let me know in the comments. I hope you will interact with me. That is a massive part. You know, if I'm evaluating what is worth my time and effort, that is important to me in interacting with people, working with other people, and just connecting. Like, that is a massive part of who I am. I've been sharing that for a long time, and it is of great significance to me in whatever it is that I go forward to do. Anyway, I'm going to stop this part right here. What you will hear is the video. Now, I recorded an intro for the Taurus seasonals because I thought I was going to do them. And I don't know how long it is, but you'll hear that next with some Aquarian Insight music, and you're going to hear the intro to the reading, and then you will hear the reading. Let me know what's happening with you guys. Let me know anything that you want. I would love to read your comments wherever you post them. I just want to say I love you guys very much. And thank you for being here with me. Thank you for holding space for me while I just stop. And you will hear from me whenever you hear from me, I guess. Love you guys. Here's what I recorded. Hello, my lovelies. I'm Jay at Aquarian Insight, and welcome to your Taurus season messages. I have a very quick intro for you. It's not so much directly about Taurus season. The reason I say that is because I went whole hog in the Taurus cheat sheet. I totally believe that I outdid myself in all the information that I included. The talk that I did, there's links to everything in the description, by the way. The talk that I did covers the basics, and then I have a whole written post which covers, I don't know, I went in depth in 10 different areas. There's loads of questions in there, same as I've done the last 2 months. And, which is different this season, I included a way to ground, you know, the Aquarius seasonals were much more than just Aquarius seasonals. Well, this is a way you can ground those messages into the season. You can build on those, as it were. So I very quickly want to touch on a way to work with not just these readings for this season, but all messages, all of life, right? Every relationship, everything that you are faced with. And the reason I thought to talk about this is it's based on at least, I don't know, a couple of dozen, I'm not even exaggerating, conversations that I've had since the start of this year. Oh, basically since I started emphasizing your individual reality, you know, when taking in these and all messages, relationships, situations. All of those conversations have centered around, in one way or another, oh, that's not me, or that doesn't resonate with me, right? Part of that speaks to their relationships with readings and messages in general. This is a Venus-ruled season, and the other Venus-ruled season, Libra, still has the South Node moving through there. And that is urging us to transform how we relate. We all see reality the way that we need to see it to justify being who we are. That's quite the nodal, you know, North Node, Aries, South Node, Libra statement to make. I'm going to say it again, right? That we all really see reality the way that we need to justify being who we are. Remember that weekly message as we start this season, go beyond normal. Find yourself in everything. And I'm not saying like keep all relationships going or, you know, everyone needs to stay in your life. That's not the point of this. It's how you relate. Relate in a way that you can always see yourself in the situation and the other person or the thing. I think I shared on Discord a few weeks ago that I watched an astrology message. It was for Sagittarius and it didn't resonate at all. The Aquarius one resonated, I think, but the Sagittarius one didn't. I'm a Sag rising for those that didn't know. So what I said was, I immediately knew that the Sagittarius message was the most important message for me. Why couldn't I find myself in that message? And I love it when that happens because it's a place to explore and to look at myself, meet a different version of myself. Now, that's my process. Your process may be different, but you do have one. Are you aware of it? So here's a very practical example to help you to consider all of this. There's a funny quote by the late, great Betty White. And she's a Capricorn. She's not a Taurus, but she does have a Taurus midheaven. So even though I use that Queen's quote, I'm going to use our other wonderful Queen, Betty White, going to use a quote from her. She said, in your 20s, you dress for men. In your 30s, you dress for success. And in your 80s, you dress for the bathroom. So what that talks about is, you know, how we prioritize different fashion statements or how we dress, depending on where we are in life. You are all at a different stage of your life and of your journey. It doesn't even have to be 20s, 30s, 80s. Just consider Saturn returns, right? We talk about astrology, Saturn returns. Before your first Saturn return, you are looking at things in a different way. In between your first and second, you're a different person as well. Your priorities change with each Saturn return. But even within that, you're an individual. Even within that, not all people that have had their Saturn returns, you know, see life in the same way. But that's just one example of how to understand your own place. Why would it be the same as everyone else's? So using that Betty White quote, it is impossible to tell everyone what they should be wearing. So general readings help you to choose your wardrobe based on your own values and situation. It's a mirror. It's a mirror showing you how you dress, what you wear, what you're doing, or who you are, whatever. Take it back into reality, right? So one of the reasons I'm focusing more on the collective and not personal is because with personal readings, to kind of mix my metaphors, right, I give you a fish for the day. Right? So you get to eat for that one day. Oh, Jay told me this, so I can eat this, right? With generals, I am helping you to learn how to fish for yourself. So think about that in terms of the wardrobe. With the personals, I am like a personal wardrobe assistant. I'm picking something that suits you, but this is something that you can pick wherever you are, wherever you are. It's teaching you the process of what suits me. How do I find myself? What do I like? What don't I like? Learning how to read the tarot and working with these messages, it has been an invaluable tool in my life, right? I can read and I can understand every situation in my life, whether I like it or whether I don't, whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's my preference or whether it isn't. Yes, Taurus season urges us to know what we like and what we prefer, right? There's loads of information on that in the cheat sheet. But living beyond preferences means knowing your relationships with everything and what you prefer and why. When you live beyond preferences, you open up your opportunities. Like I said, there's a lot more on this in the Taurus cheat sheet, but I want to add this here because I kind of feel we can get locked in, and that's a very good kind of shadow of Taurus idea. We can get locked into seeing things in a certain way, of being committed to only seeing ourselves presented in a certain manner, receiving messages only in one way. Do not do yourself and the world a disservice by getting locked into that. Anyway, I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for all of your support. If you would like to support that, the work that I do, there's information in the description on how you can do that. Please support your girl. I put in a lot of effort into all of the work that I post on here. Let's get on with the reading. Hello, Taurus. Happy birthday, my sweethearts. I wish you a wonderful solar return. I'm kind of excited for your season. I'm excited for every season. I don't know if you guys can tell that by now. Anyway, let's get on with this reading. As I said, bit of an amazing reading. I will say that apart from that Hierophant that flew out, if you were watching the shuffling, there's not any major arcanas that come up in this reading. So kind of like that, kind of ties in with Taurus energy. Remember, major arcanas are these massive transformations that happen in our life, right? This is not to say that those transformations that happen, they're kind of slower energy, they're more kind of built in. But this is how we navigate. Minors are exactly what I was saying in the intro. It's us, it's how we take in the information, right? How we deal with the day to day, our own processes, our own cycles, cycles within cycles within cycles. Okay, so let's begin with water. And I was not surprised to see this. I mean, I know you're an earth sign, right? But this kind of feels like something happened. I'm just going to say that, right? Coming in with water. You'll see what I mean. Let me read it. There's three parts to this, the essence, the invitation, the medicine. Let's begin with the essence. Water symbolizes purification, regeneration, birth, revival, and cleansing. It signifies an evolutionary shift from former self to new self. There you go. Well, it is your birthday season for those of you that celebrate your birthday. For those of you that are not Taurus, have no Taurus, and just watching this because it's the reading of the season, we kind of experienced that with the eclipses last season, right? With Aries energy. So I think it's so fitting that this comes up. Anyway, let's continue. I mean, check out the example they use. Many myths around the world speak of a great flood and the new life that is revealed after a deluge. Water begins without boundaries. Then, as soon as form has separated itself from water, it comes under the laws of time and life, thus acquiring limitations. Now, let's break that down. Then, as soon as form has separated itself from water, that's the marriage of heaven and earth. You're going to see that in that Rider rune as well. It comes under the laws of time. And that's you. That's the domain that Taurus works in, earth energy, right? The laws of time and life, thus acquiring limitations. We do have limitations. We can't just do a million things at once, right? We are limited by time, space, all of that physical stuff, things that we can see, smell, hear, all of that. The invitation. When water arrives, you're invited to watch your emotions. Know they are going to be changeable and do not settle on a conclusion at this time. Now, that is a massive deal coming up for Taurus. The sign that one might say is the least changeable. I mean, by design, that is not a put down. That is what I talk about it in the cheat sheet of that kind of resilience. I mean, you can see it as being stubborn. You know, a lot of Taurus people that take that as a compliment. But being stubborn means that I don't want to move. I'm not changing for anything. You can be with the roots of a tree or a plant, right? They give that plant, they give that resilience. They give it support. So it is able to change. So it is able to grow. That is how I see Taurus energy. The structure of Taurus energy. Structure is a really good word. I mean, the Hierophant coming at the beginning, that's what the Hierophant is. It's the structures that we have. Let me continue. But yeah, it's the big deal that Taurus gets this, right? About being changeable. If you feel joy, and hang on, where was I with this? Let's start that bit again. When water arrived, you're invited to watch your emotions. Know they are going to be changeable and do not settle on a conclusion at this time. If you feel joy, feel that fully. If you feel sad, allow sadness to move through you. Water invites you to see the ebb and flow of events and trust you can ride the wave of opportunity when it arises. Natural flow is here. Go with it. I mentioned this in the cheat sheet where I said that, you know, in modern kind of, especially in the West, right, we treat, you know, natural. The drink of that word natural is very Taurus. Nature, natural. What's natural? We treat our natural state as being one that is comfortable. That's not always the most natural thing. If you experience a loss in one of these postcards and spirit refers to that. You've experienced a loss, right? Being psychotically chipper is not natural. If you are struggling with a situation, you're stressed out and you know you're going, you don't know what to do around it, that is natural. That is natural to feel that. And because we have this, I'm going to say deluded, I think it's a delusion. And it's amazing to me how a lot of what we treat as real is actually quite delusional. And a lot of the kind of Neptunian, more what we should be considered delusional, is actually quite real, right? So I love that water comes up for you guys. But needing to be comfortable all the time, you know, being psychotically chipper, as I like to put it, and that phrase was coined, or I first used for a Taurus person, actually. But it wasn't her Taurus energy that made her that way. I will say that. That's not natural. That's not part of our natural, you know, as a human being, we feel all sorts of emotions. Just being like psychotically chipper or comfortably numb, right? That's no. That's why we take all these medicines and drug ourselves and, you know, do all of that lovely devil stuff to keep ourselves fixed in one place. It's not natural. So I say that, listen to what the medicine is. This is a time for cleansing unwanted energy and sticky feelings. Consider this. What water does to the I'm sorry, consider this. What water does to the flesh, it does in sacred ritual to the spirit. The spiritual cleansing, like baptism, is the opportunity to get an instantaneous experience of the timeless, non-ordinary reality in which all true creation takes place. Now is also a time that is pregnant with potential for you. It's a good word for Taurus. Carl Jung talked about the maternal womb-like significance of water as a universal symbol. Water represents the potentiality of existence. It precedes and sustains every creation. Emergence from it is manifestation, immersion. In it is dissolution of form. Because of this, it symbolizes regeneration. Make way for the process. You can expect it to be messy, but worth it. So, I just want to remind everyone, as if you could have forgotten, that we begin your season with that massive conjunction of Jupiter, with Uranus. And that is what I think makes this season so different. And even this talking about, you know, our spiritual beliefs, sacred ritual, all of that, Jupiter is in your sign, has been, will be leaving soon, but is in your sign. So, on that note, let's check out what Rido says. Rido is the rune that you see up there. It is journey, communication, union, reunion. This rune is concerned with communication, with the attunement of something that has two sides, two elements, and with the ultimate union that comes at the end of the journey, when what is above and what is below are united and of one mind. Now, where did I talk about this? In maybe it was the weekly. I think I talked about it in the weekly for this week, which I forget what that day, it was 15th to 21st, something like that. Of April. That is what that conjunction is. You know, this is your reading is so perfectly attuned to the energies, I will say that. Inner worth mounts here, and at such a time, you are not intended to rely entirely upon your own power. Instead, ask what constitutes right action. Ask through prayer or meditation, through addressing the witness self, the teacher within. Once you are clear, you can neutralize your refusal to let right action flow through you. Not intent on movement, be content to wait. I mean, Taurus is good at that. While you wait, keep on removing resistances. As the obstructions give way, all remorse, and there's a lot around remorse coming up here, all remorse arising from trying to make things happen disappears. As always, the journey is towards self-healing, self-change, and union. You are concerned here with nothing less than unobstructed, perfect union, but the union of heaven and earth cannot be forced. Regulate any. I say that, but it might get a little forced this season. I'm just going to add my own little 2 pence worth there. Regulate any excesses in your life. Material advantages must not weigh heavily on this journey of the self toward the self. Stand apart even from like-minded others. The notion of strength in numbers does not apply at such a time, for this part of the journey, the soul's journey, cannot be shared. Another of the cycle runes, Rido carries within its form the rune of joy. But for now, the end is in sight. You are no longer burdened by what you've left behind. Heaven above you and earth below you unite within you. Let me say that again. Heaven above you and earth below you unite within you to support you on your way. A simple prayer for the journey soul is, I will to will thy will. Such a prayer of intention is proper on any occasion and is particularly appropriate as a permeable to healing. Sorry, permeable? Preamble to healing, even. Reversed. Receiving Rido reverse puts you on notice to be particularly attentive to personal relationships. At this time, ruptures are more likely than reconciliations, and effort may be required to keep your good humor. Whatever happens, how you respond is up to you. That's what a whole table full of minor arcanas says as well. The requirements of your process may totally disrupt what you had intended. Desired outcomes may elude you, and yet what you regard as detours, inconveniences, disruptions, blockages, and even failures and deaths will eventually be rerouting opportunities, with union and reunion as the only abiding destinations. Now, the reason I did talk about preferences in the introduction to this is think about your favorite anything, right? So, I mean, if I think about, everyone knows my favorite show, everyone is I'm obsessed by it, is Supernatural, right? I love Supernatural. But Supernatural only came out in 2005. And does that mean I had no favorite before? No, I loved Buffy, I loved Angel, you know, there was loads of other things. I had to be open to trying something new. And trust me, for a long time, I wasn't open to it. The first episode of Supernatural, I don't know if anyone knows it, I hate watched it. I was willing to hate it. How could they replace Buffy and Angel with these pretty boys and stuff, right? And now I'm addicted. So think about anything that's your favorite now, that you prefer now. It was new to you once. Consider this a time of when you might find something that's even more favorite than your favorite. But it's like having your favorite show taken away from you, like Buffy and Angel, right? Having that taken away from you so you are willing to spend your resources, time, effort, energy, earth season, on something new. So for those of you that are struggling at this time and you're longing for this favorite thing of yours, right, person, amounts of money, job, whatever it is, right, consider how you are being invited to explore something new. Just think it's really important at the moment. Just, and because it is Taurus, right? I kind of feel like it will be a favorite. It'll be something that's going to be there for ages. It's not just let me just pass the time and distract myself with this. It will be, I mean, for me, I've had a 15 year lifelong journey with the boys in Supernatural. And that may sound like something really stupid to you, frivolous to you, right? But if you go through the cheat sheet, they provided me with stability, meditation. I went on a healing journey through that. You know, me and Dean Winchester, we have similar fault lines. Being the elder sibling, taking care. I had all of that came up for me. That's a TV show. That's a story. It helped me in a dark time. It gave me stability and security and patience as I was dealing with a chronic illness. Like, you know, it can be anything. But it changes you. Holds your roots in a place like a pot, right? And I've talked about, made this analogy before in Taurus seasons, so you can grow into something else. And I grew into something else. So this could be a new favorite thing that comes up for you, right? I'll leave these till the end. Let's have a look at these, right? Let's start here. I kind of get a kind of, what's the phrase that I want to use? Failure to launch. That's what it feels like. Or not, because maybe you've been waiting for the right time. You've been challenging yourself. You're not sure what to launch, right? It could be anything around this. But let's talk about the energy. In the past, we have the Five of Wands. Now, is that Aries season for you? It's fire. Was it last Leo? It's a Leo card. But this is about how you challenge yourself. Have you been challenging yourself to try different things? You know, it's not as if Jupiter and Uranus entered Taurus just yesterday. Been there for a while. And there were a number of Taurus people who just, you would not recognize them. But they say that themselves, about themselves. Their lives have changed so much. They've changed so much. So have you been challenging yourself? Have you been facing a lot of challenges with the Five of Wands? This can feel difficult. As much as I love the Five of Wands, Five of Wands can feel difficult. When we don't want to change, we don't want to change our process, we don't want to show up from a different place, right? Then it's an agent of chaos. Because then we don't know how to handle the situation. I think it's, is it Prigozhin or whoever, that theory of dissipated systems where, you know, if you're here, like think about in that space, right? Your life fluctuates in that, you know how to handle it, right? You have a system of how to deal with ups and downs, you know, the car getting not working that day or stress at work or family stuff. Like, you know how to work in that. Every now and then something happens that breaks that system. Like, we don't have the tools. Our day-to-day processes are not enough to deal with what's happening within that. And so it's chaos. Fives are all of the fives do that. And you've got two fives coming up here. So it's chaotic. That's that messy energy that Water talked about. So if you keep applying, I mean, you just can't. You can't apply the old processes or the old way of doing things within that. As we navigate the chaos, we actually raise our level. We now introduce new ways of dealing with things. You know, and I gave an example of when I had got chronic illness. You can bet that broke down every single survival mechanism, day to day, everything it broke. And it took a while, right? But then I learned how to navigate that. So then we have a new system. We upgrade our processes and our systems and we deal with it in a different way. Each of the fives encourages us to do that. So with the Five of Wands, it asks us to pull out some new moves, to engage with it in a different way, to show our best moves, to upgrade how we create. It's Mars in Leo, this card. Mars will be entering Aries. I don't know when, I forgot the date, but it will be during your season. So with the Five of Wands coming up here, this is what you've been challenged to do for a while now, like, you know, to show up differently, to engage differently with things. Now, let's pull a clarify for that, actually, before we move forward. I mean, Four of Swords there and Four of Swords here. So what does that mean? On the one hand, Four of Swords, it doesn't always just mean we're taking a break. It is a pause, but it's a mental pause. We're not overthinking things. We're not stressing ourselves out. That we realize that there's no answer to be found here. Now, here's the thing, though, I want to say around this. I don't know how true that is with the Nine of Swords sat there. But we'll go with that just to give you an option, just to try to relate this to yourself, to see it from different perspectives. Four of Swords in the past, last week, last month, last year, doesn't matter. With the Five of Wands, this is instinctive. That's what I get from this more. Where we don't, maybe you haven't had the opportunity to sit and think about things. You've been in like survival mode for a while. That's the other way that this can be. Talking about supernatural, anyone that's seen it, this would be Dean in Purgatory when he ended up in Purgatory. Like, that's how you function, right? You just deal on instinct. You don't have to think. It's all very simple. You just do what needs to be done. Grab the thing in front of you, deal with it, move on to the next. And through this, like, why are we stressed out here? That's the thing. So is it because you've been dealing with so much day to day that you haven't had a chance to plan for the future, do something for the future? And that's kind of stressing you out now, because there's something stressing you out. Nine of Swords. Nine of Swords is when we've gone too far in the future. So whatever way this plays out for you, on the one hand, it could be that you took a pause just to engage. Like, you've not been overthinking, you've just been engaging with things. The other one is you haven't had the opportunity to be able to stop and think. Right? Four of Swords can be meditation. You could be challenging yourself in meditation practice or whatever it is, because it's needed with this Nine of Swords. What I kind of get from this more than anything else is, do you want to stop and commit to something, right? Think about that. Think about what you've been doing. Now, with that Five of Wands, it challenges to pull out some new moves, right? That is very, let me take it to the individual. So say, for example, for me, or other people like me, we love like just running around, creating different things, being reckless, trying different things, doing whatever. 2020, right, in the last 4 years, it challenged me to pull out some new moves, which is what? To slow down, to pause, to commit, to do all of that, right? And I talked about this in the weekly as well. It isn't always one version. What challenges us is not the same as for other people. You know, there were times in my life where I had no problems talking. Keeping my mouth shut was a challenge for me. I would say that's one of the things, first things I learned about when I was doing this, is learning when to shut up and what not to say. And then other times it was learning to speak up. Both Five of Wands, both challenge you to do something. Now, I talk about speaking about things. This might not be about communication. This might be about doing. I do want to say this as well, and it seems it always happens every tourist season. Those of you that have been here for the last few tourist seasons, you know that this is a thing that happens in tourist season. They get very kind of as if it's a personal reading, even though I'm trying to do a general one, right? Is there's a sense here of if this is about a relationship or someone going back to work, it could be that as well. There's been a pause, there's been a break. But you're coming into this place of committing to something. Maybe you've put off commitment. Maybe the reason there's a pause in this relationship is because someone wasn't willing to commit. Ace of Pentacles. Or the business didn't get launched because someone wasn't willing to like commit to doing it. So consider there's going to be a number of different ways that this could transpire for you. But let's have a look at these two. So we've got the Nine of Swords and we've got the Ace of Pentacles. So it's like, I want to commit, but I need certainty. I need to know if it's the right thing to do. I'll tell you, here's a little, I've read for a lot of Taurus people, probably maybe even the same amount of Taurus people as Aquarians. You can imagine with a name like Aquarian Insight, how many Aquarians I have a lot of Taurus clients as well. And I love them. Good, so great sense of humor because always like when they want a reading and then I would say, oh, so really what you're asking me is can I do you want to guarantee the future? And they'll laugh because it is that's part of Taurus energy. So certainty, you know, of course we're all designed that way. All of us are designed that way, that we will get what we want, we will get the food that we want, we will have safety and shelter and all of those things. Why would we not want those? I get it. But sometimes I can go into overdrive and it's like, I won't commit unless I know how it's going to turn out. Well, with the King of Wands here, it's saying, well, it's that depends on what you're willing to do. No, I can't guarantee that you'll pass the exams if you're not going to study for them. I can't guarantee that you'll get the job if you're not going to like brush up on what you need to for the thing. So it depends on you. That's the answer here. But let's get it. Oh, God. What is that stress? Nine of Swords, Ten of Wands. All right. And what's the Ace of Pentacles? Well, that just doubles up on that energy. And this could also speak to change. Like, you know, that maybe you've changed and now it's about speaking that change out into, or, you know, translating it out into the world. You've learned how to do different things. You've learned how to listen to your instincts, not to overthink things. You know, you're not going to do this analysis paralysis thing that the Knight of Pentacles tends to do. You're ready to go forward. Sun just came out as I was saying this. And, but you're worried because you're juggling so many balls, Ten of Wands, right? There's so much to consider. I don't know if it's going to turn out. I don't know if I've got too many burdens or if I've got enough time, effort, and energy to be able to do this. Page of Pentacles always reminds us the devil is in the details. And the Ace of Pentacles says, focus on the potential of this. Focus on what the potential is. You know what the potential is. It wouldn't stress you out. You wouldn't be so stressed about the future if you didn't know your own potential, potential for a relationship, the potential income, you know, whatever it is. If you didn't know that. Why is that Four of Swords there if we've just dealt with, if we've had it there? Is it because you think I don't know how much longer this pause is going to be happening? It could be a sense of like, how much longer do I have to wait? Like, if you've been using, because we can translate Four of Swords into a number of ways. It's meditation, it's not overthinking, it's letting the dust settle, it's taking a break from something. If you think about that, it's a time after healing, really. And Water talked about that. So, in the Three of Swords, we had pain, right? We had grief, we had loss. And this is where we've removed the old stories. But we need a break, man. We've just gone through all this stuff, listening to those old stories, pulling out those old swords. We need a pause for a moment to consider what our new truth is now that we don't have the old stories. And I think that may be part of it. Seven of Swords. Oh, bloody hell. Wheel of Fortune. Magician, and that one's sticking out, so we'll take it. Six of Cups. All right.
I don't think it's, I just want to say this to you, Taurus. I feel like you've already done a lot of the heavy lifting. Do not discount how much you've been through. What do I say that? Six of Cups. And that's Scorpio season as well. Think about the full moon that happened, full moon in Taurus that happened in Scorpio season. What ended then? Especially around who you are. Like, what ended? Because you might be listening to astrology stuff. You might be listening to people like me. And you're thinking, God, I don't know how much more I can do of this or change. Or how many more can I take? You have done a lot. And I think I was thinking this about all of us, actually. About myself as well. That I've changed so much. I've done so much. I've moved so much on faith. I have, you know, pulled out some new moves. I've done one thing. My south node is in Taurus. This conjunction happens just 3 degrees away from my south node. So I get it, right? And, you know, we all have fears of the future. It's not just a Taurus thing. Is it? All of us have them. We all have this fears of the future. It's a Gemini card, Nine of Swords. But I was thinking, why am I always like, yes, I'm creating the future. Yes, I want to move forward into the future. But we looked at this in Pisces season, right? Karma isn't like, what do I do? It's what am I due as well. That sometimes we can keep doing, but we're not like reaping the rewards of what we've already done. Which doesn't just mean that what we're owed from the world, but also within ourselves, what we have learned how to do, what we have developed within ourselves, who we have become. That is, do we harvest our own gift in a way, or do we use them in a different way? So this Six of Cups kind of refers back to this, the instincts that you've honed and your ability to pull out some new moves and move in a different way through the world. So with the Four of Swords here, which is like saying, okay, well, that pause is still here. Don't know how long that will last. Be honest with yourself. Seven of Swords. Is it a pause? Or is the true question here, Seven of Swords, which is it worth the risk? Is it worth coming out the shadows? Now, if you have been paused waiting for the right time, here's your right time. Why do I say that? Wheel of Fortune, Magician. You know, Wheel of Fortune it's Jupiter and Mercury is the Magician. Mercury will be coming into your sign eventually, still retrograde in Aries at this time as I'm recording. And I want you to consider this with the Wheel of Fortune as Jupiter. It's, what are you creating? What are you committing to? You've got this Ace of Pentacles. You've got this seed of potential, right? How do you do this? The Wheel of Fortune says the wheel turns. It's a different era, a different time. We're stepping into somewhere new now. And yes, you know, destiny, fate takes the reins. We aren't in control of that. You know, we can't control the weather, but how we dress, what we do with that weather, what our preferences are, that's on us. We get to choose that. So how do you use the tools that you have and the knowledge that you have to create what you want, to start something new? Please do not discount this. This is Six of Cups. There's something around having made peace with a lot, actually. Do not sell yourself short, Taurus. I want to say that. Do not sell yourself short. It takes great strength to be able to carry that much. It takes great strength to have changed how you do things, to show up in a different way, to look at different details, to want to commit. Like, there's a lot that's going on here. But there's something here about launching something, about, and maybe waiting. A Four of Swords can be, yeah, over here, it's not overthinking it, but here it could be waiting. And take a pause, take a beat, right? Consider the lay of the land. Know that this is a risk, but realize how much you've already been through and know that, yeah, it might be time to start something. Now, this is not just about within yourself. Have a look here with the Five of Pentacles. And these are part a lot of the questions that I asked in the Taurus cheat sheet are around this. Like, what is lacking in your life right now? Where is there practical chaos? Like, where you're not earning enough or where you don't have enough time? Like, you know, the physical stuff that you're good at. Necessity is the mother of invention. You're creating something new here. You're starting something new here. You're about to take a risk. You're about to come out and do something else. The timing is right. It's all lining up, right? But this will give you your why in terms of or where to start even. Where do I begin? I want to start something, but where do I begin? You might be ultra aware of what is lacking in your life right now. Six of Pentacles. I love this. I love the five and the six. Why? Because the five of Pentacles is struggle. It is lack. It is, you know, financial poverty. It is emotional poverty. It's what we don't have enough of, right? Where we are with scarcity. And it can also show us what we need help with. We can't ask for help until we know what we need help with. The future may look worrisome, right? If you're carrying this much right now, but you don't, maybe you don't need to carry all of that. Is there something or someone that can help you? Even like, yes, plants grow, right? With the roots in the ground, but they need sunshine. They need rain. They need all sorts of stuff, nutrients to be able to grow. We all need stuff. That's, you know, our pride and our ego that lets us think, no, I don't need help. I'll do it all myself. King of Cups. And I would ask you to look at this need. Yes, you're being inspired, like looking at your bank balance or relationships or, you know, whatever it is that you're looking at, like, you know, I would like more of this or I'm lacking in this. But it's the King of Cups who's determining this. That's the water. It's understanding what it means to you. It's understanding your relationship with that. I'd mentioned it in the cheat sheet video that I did, and I'll say it again here. That I know a lot of people that have experienced hardship, not just financial, in relationships and all sorts of stuff, right, over the last however many years. They've really experienced it. And I actually had someone say to me that, why is it that all the good people seem to not have anything at the moment, right? You know that. And I can understand that. It's because before your job or your status or your money or your whatever, right, that might have been your identity. So when it went away, when lockdowns happened and all of that stuff happened, right? When all that went away, we were forced to consider ourselves in what are our needs? Because you can't hide behind the office job or you can't hide behind the massive amounts of money, whatever it is, right? It really asked us to look at it. And a lot of people I know, not everyone, of course, have been establishing up an identity that is outside of whatever their identity was before. What are my actual needs? I know a friend that she used to go to the pub all the time, right? That she, you know, drank quite a bit, always going to the pub. And we were all joking, like when lockdowns were lifted, you're going to get to go to the pub. Where's your first pint? When are you going to have it? And it took me by surprise how sincere she was. She said, I don't care about pubs. She goes, I just miss people. I just miss sitting down, talking to people. And I don't think she's hardly gone to the pub now since then, because that's why she went to the pub. She got to meet people, socialize and do whatever. But she's got a richer version of that now, King of Cups, that understanding of the emotional need behind the practice, behind the needs, behind the necessities, behind the physical reality. So that's what water is kind of indicating with this King of Cups here. Let's get one more. Five of Swords, bloody hell, there is a lot of chaos in this reading. So we got Five of Wands now, we got the Five of Pentacles, and we got the Five of Swords. The only one missing is what? You didn't get the Five of Cups, did you know? I said this back, I say this every season, but like for me personally, when it's Sagittarius season for me is a fun season, says Gemini. The first thing I realise when the season starts is how unfun my life is. Or, you know, Aquarius, it's all about knowing stuff and the vision, and it's like I don't even have a vision, like, or when was the last time I authentically, you know, it shows me where I'm lacking in that. So be mindful of this, that, and we're just coming in with, I've got a feeling it's just coming in because you've got the King of Wands here, so I'm not too worried. But the Five of Swords is conflict around this. Where is there conflict between your material physical needs and your emotional ones? Like, where are they? I don't like using the word alignment, but where are they not in alignment? Let's just use that. That doesn't mean that, the reason I don't like using alignment is it doesn't mean you're not meant to have one or the other. That's not what I'm trying to say here. Maybe the King of Cups is your heavenly side, the highest, your higher self, right? Your emotional self, that intuitive self. And yet you have to live in the physical world. Take it from me, Taurus. I get it. It's one of my challenges I have as well, where, you know, I have certain morals and values, very Taurus, right? Taurus South Node here, that I've tried to, they are so inconvenient to me, trust me. I would earn a lot more. I would have a much more bigger business. I'd be more well known. I'd have a bigger house. I'd have better relationships. I'd have all sorts of more relationships. I'd never be better, but I'd have more if I could just switch off that pesky King of Cups side of myself and just be locked in on, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this one step at a time, right? If I did that. But I would be an empty person. I would be soulless. That would be like, for that is tantamount to me for of putting my soul and my soul up for sale to do that. Yeah, I don't believe that being the King of Cups means you have to live in poverty or live alone or do whatever. There is a bridge that is available there. And it's that Five of Swords that is kind of the bridge, which is saying, okay, look, we've had a pause. We've been dealing with a lot of stuff. It's time now to understand, what is the conflict? What is the conflict between this higher self part of myself and the physical reality? That, you know, I've done a lot of, let's just choose relationships. I've done a lot of work on myself, on, you know, knowing who I am and what I'm worth and all of that. And yet I'm alone. How can that be a good thing? If, what was the point of doing all of that if I just cannot keep a relationship, or that I'm just alone all the time? It doesn't mean selling out. We are very much going, we're trying to build something here. The first thing we must do, water, Rido, is that bridge. The bridge between these two kind of disparate parts of ourselves. I'm going to get one more for that, actually. Actually, let's get it from the other deck. One more. The Queen of Swords. So, I mean, it is that. This is your brain's coming back. I'm not saying it was offline, but your mind is coming back online. Remember, heaven above you, earth beneath you, they meet within you. So what is the story now? What is the new story? Who are you? You have a story about your spiritual self. I just told one about myself, right? So we all have these stories. How do we work with them? How do we move forward? Think about what happened in that full moon lunar eclipse that happened in Libra just last month, last season. What happened there? That could be something to do with this. So that would have been in your eighth house. Hierophant coming up with that King of Wands. Ooh, bloody hell. Look at this. Double Taurus energy. I told you, I'm not worried at all about where you go with this. This is the messy part of what water said. Yes, Seven of Wands. I'm going to urge you to not worry so much about how you're going to do this. I mean, that's Ace of Pentacles, Nine of Swords anyway. How am I going to do this? I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. I don't have the thing. There's so much to understand, so much to learn, like whatever it is, right? This is about, that is all chaos. You're discerning what is truth within that chaos. You're discerning what is the inner conflict, because the outer chaos just represents inner chaos in our thoughts, in the stories that we have. Have a clear story of who you are now, of how you're going to go forward. It's the rebirth of you, right? I mean, think about even going back to that water and the great floods, and you know, we think of these eras as the antediluvian era, like before the great flood and then after it. That's us now, like after the flood. What happened? We have stories about this. Every culture has a story about a flood. Think of, is this your flood that's happening in your life, that's clearing it all away? So you are someone new now. The Queen of Swords would suggest that. Which means the conflicts are not the same. We're starting from scratch in some ways. Now, when you start from scratch, it doesn't mean that you just forget what happened before. But look at, by going through this process here, what you've got over here is the King of Wands. King of Wands takes action. He's not worried about the long term. He is, what is inspiring me? What am I trying to do here? You got two kings. Both kings are socially responsible. They're engaging. They're out there. The King of Wands, he's the entrepreneur. If you were looking to start something, you may be ready to do it in a different way. And it's not something that you're learning. I want to say that you already know how to do this. I maybe think that you've kind of written this off as just survival, but it is such a key part of your story now, in that of who you've become. So the King of Wands is going to create. He's inspired. He has loads of energy. If you've been feeling a lack of energy, you may have more energy to do things here. What is backing the King of Wands up? And you are Taurus after all. King of Pentacles, Hierophant. It's how you see stability and security. That's what's changed. Remember, I mean, the whole point of this is exactly what I was saying about the roots, because at Seven of Wands, this is what you stand for. You can have a look. He's breaking open the bars because it's got love written there. It's a Leo card. Leo's your fourth house. And, you know, this is why you're getting a lot of Leo energy, which is your own roots, your own emotional stability within yourself. That is what allows you to grow. It doesn't, you know, a lot of the time what we can do is we want to keep the rest of the world fixed. We want everything the way that we want it so that we're not challenged emotionally. I mean, trust me on that. I have a Virgo moon. So I very much can, you know, apply that to myself. I used to be like that. I needed everything perfect so that I could feel good. But within this, with this coming up here, this is going to speak to where... All right, so the world isn't ever going to provide me with the kind of stability. It might do for a little while, but it won't stay. It won't last. What do I stand for within myself? Right? What is it that inspires me? What are my desires? What are my passions? Where am I coming from? What is the will, right? You know, talked about that ride. I talked about will. What is it that I want to do? Because that is what provides me with structure and security to do something else, to face the challenges that come my way. This is a kind of like a revelation of a much greater inner strength than I think you've ever realized about yourself, Taurus. And it's kind of lying there dormant. Maybe that's where the Four of Swords is coming out. This is an awakening of a warrior spirit within you, of an ability to engage in a very physical way, in a different way from how you've done it, of energies that you've always taken for granted. Hierophant, King of Pentacles. The advice here is the Knight of Pentacles. The Knight of Pentacles takes one step at a time. No one's asking you to go at a speed that you don't want to go at, but the Knight of Pentacles does move forward. One step at a time. Focus on the next step. Let's take it forward. Don't get so many steps ahead. Nine of Swords, right? I mean, the bull plows the field by looking straight ahead and just walking towards it. Covering one step at a time. Well... The Lovers. I included a section on mindfulness in conversation and communication in the Taurus cheat sheet. The Empress, there's Venus. There's the Fool, there's Uranus. Right. And Venus is going to be in your sign, right? So this season as well. You've got the ruler of the sign coming. She's going to be at home. It's going to be really wonderful. But think about this. So at each step that you're taking, you're engaging with it from, this is just one step in the process. The Lovers, it's engage. It could be, they're totally different. I mean, I look at this card. One of them is a bird or some bird-like thing and there's a girl. But it's love. And what is love? Love is acceptance of differences, of different things. Remember I said you might find a new favorite. Whatever that may be, a new calling, a new career, a new relationship, a new something, which is like your most favorite thing ever. I'm using the word favorite quite a bit, like preferred, of this is what I love. You know, that comes in. But it involves taking risks, the Fool. It involves trying out new things. You've got the Empress here, what you hold space for, what you nurture and grow, what you give birth to. All of that is up for review now. But it kind of begins with this. I mean, this is the crucial bit because this is the most chaotic bit. If you have a look at the rest of it, it's quite clear and wonderful, actually. But I'm not saying this isn't wonderful, but what is the bridge between your heaven and earth, whatever that means to you, your higher self, your spiritual practice, your values, your beliefs, like whatever that is, right? How is that meeting the actual physical land or ground under your feet? That's the Knight of Pentacles, Prince of Pentacles. How do I take that next step? What is the next step? I can't just kick it into the future, right? But how do I grow this? How do I build this? Because this is the equivalent then. Fours are a foundation. So you've got these four, this Four of Swords coming up. You've got this mental foundation even, right? You know, maybe a spiritual practice, whatever it is. You've got a foundation there. It's like laying the foundation for the house, but then not laying any bricks because, you know, I don't have the tiles for the roof yet. And it's like, well, we don't even know what we're going to do with the roof or how tall we're going to make it. Let's just start building it. This is a massive new cycle. This is entering the unknown in a way you haven't before, trying something new. But the misconception with the Fool, though, is the Fool always looks like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. Like, you know, if there's an opportunity, whatever. It's a leap of faith for that very reason. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. We show up guileless, without preconceived notions, without stories about the past. You've cleared your past quite a bit. You just know who you are and you're ready to face something. Queen of Swords. And then when you land down the bottom, you're going to become the Magician. Where was the Magician? Over here. That's what happened, the Magician. Then the as you're looking at everything, the King of Wands, right, is like, ooh, that looks exciting. I could try that. But it's a big change. It's a massive change here. And it kind of begins with what you like, what you love, what you'll engage with, what you'll try. Slow and steady wins the race, yes. But not slow and steady in the same lanes or the same arenas that you've always done it in. This is exploration of, you know, holding space for new things, trying something different, speaking in different ways. There you go, my lovelies. Those are your messages. Right. Oh, I've nearly forgot these. I bet you I'm going to do that. I'm going to forget these postcards somewhere in someone's reading. Now, I said all of that. Check out your postcards in spirit. So the first one was, dearest you, there are times when loss is a part of life. Sometimes a loss is welcome, like when you leave a situation not in alignment with your highest good. Sometimes a loss is sudden and painful, like when a loved one crosses over to our dimension. Regardless of the nature of the loss and your control over it, your experience is asking to be acknowledged, King of Cups. Tears are necessary, as is grief. When you repress the natural expression of loss and try to move on too quickly, the unprocessed pain haunts you in destructive ways. We don't want that for you. Instead, let your heart break open wide. Feel the loss and integrate it. See the beauty that was, the lessons learned, and know that as you let go of what has passed, ever more of you remains. It gets better, we promise, and I promise as well with this. It gets better, we promise. Your heart expands with more compassion for the world than ever before. Love heals all. That's the Lovers and the Empress. We are loving you, sending you love always and forever. Now, I didn't pull two cards for this. Two cards came out. This one was sticking out. And this one went and flew over there, right? So we got this about loss. And I get that. Like, even as the Fool might be guileless and ready to risk something and jump into something new, create something new, have a new relationship, do whatever. But we're still leaving behind the old. Like, you know, so that's natural. And I say that, you know, just in case something hasn't ended for you. Even when you show up as a different version of you, the old you's gone. Dearest, wonderful you. To help you manifest a life for the highest good, we invite you to examine your deepest desires. This is where this King of Wands comes in. Imagine all your desires, no matter what kind, like magic seed pods in a basket, glowing with infinite potential. Look closely at each one. Are you afraid that some may bring you too much attention and invite negative reactions from others? Is change too daunting? Are you afraid to stretch and grow? I mean, how perfect is this? Let yourself be led forward and let those seeds of positive intention take to the wind. Your desires count and you are worthy of them. They are essential for co-creating your world. Did you ever consider that when a desire comes from deep within you, it might be spirit moving you to create something beautiful to share with others? Some desires are infused with miraculous powers to move the heart and influence the world in ways you can't possibly know. We know you and love you so deeply and are so happy to support you. There you go. Now those were your messages. I hope you'll let me know how you get on. I wish you a wonderful Taurus season. There you go. Those are your messages. I love you guys very much. I'll see you next time. That's all for now. Goodbye.